Alhamdulillah. Today, this is the gathering of Allah Ta'ala's dhikr and different people are gathered here in this gathering. And this is the great and immense fadl, grace and mercy of Allah Ta'ala that such a big gathering, because extra people are here today, different people, and such a gathering, which is not a gathering just of people from this city and town, but from different areas, different cities, people who departed from night time, from far, and they traveled through the cold climate, just for one objective, that we are traveling to do the dhikr of Allah, to remember Allah, and we are gathered due to the name of Allah. And this is a great fadl of Allah, a great mercy of Allah, and a great ni'mah of Allah, that in this day and age of fitan, of challenges, to have a gathering on the basis of the name of Allah. This, the importance, if we look at the importance of this fact, that in the hadith, just like we have the subject in the hadith, that as long as one person will be present who will say Allah, 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 then the day of judgment will not come about. So from the hadith we learn how much that people will be negligent and lazy, from ignorant, from saying the name of Allah, repeating the name of Allah, reciting the name of Allah. They'll be so far that there won't even be a person reciting or remembering the name of Allah at that time. So alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. In this country, in this environment, on this day, to have such a great gathering and to have a jamaat who loves the name of Allah and who gathers for the name of Allah, who has focused for the name of Allah, this is immense fadl, karam, mercy and the grace of Allah. Imagine how much the mercies of Allah are descending, and here you have come, that there must be a big mercy of Allah on this town, on this locality, for this reason. Our silsila, our order, the Naqshbandi order, our aqabirin, our pious predecessors, our elders, and a great elder from Hindustan, from the Indian subcontinent, Hazrat Khwaja Masoom Rahimahullah, Rahmatullah Alayhi, may Allah have mercy on him, you are all aware of his name. And he was Hazrat Mujaddid Al-Afthani Rahmatullah Alayhi's son and his deputy, spiritual deputy. And he had an ajeeb spiritual maqam and level, and he's an ajeeb sheikh, unique sheikh. And in such a way, to such an extent, that due to him, the work of the silsila of the Naqshbandi order spread around the world, due to his efforts. In that time, Aurangzeb was the king at that time, Aurangzeb. And with him, not just him, but other people from other countries of the world, other kings and Aurangzeb Wabaya pledged allegiance to Hazrat Masoom, Khwaja Masoom Rahmatullahi. And 900,000, approximately 900,000 people did bayah and tawbah and repentance at the hand of Hazrat Masoom, Khwaja Masoom Rahmatullah. And 7,000, Hazrat Khwaja Masoom Rahmatullah had 7,000 khalifas, deputies, who he gave ijazah to. And he was a great sheikh, a great wali of Allah. And his saying that has come to me, that one of his sayings, and which is included in his maktubat, in his writings, in his recordings, that when in a certain place, in this day and age, he stated, on this day and age, when that time will come, which is close to Qiyamah. So here I'm speaking that this ijtima that we're doing today is not for today. This ijtima, the annual gathering, was from the beginning of time. Every year they would have a date annually designated in which people would come together and quench their thirst. And quench their thirst. And this, the lives of the pious elders, and I've experienced, and we've seen in the silsila, the Hazrat Fadl Ali Qureshi Rahmatullah Ali, who used to live in Miskinpura in Pakistan, and my Sheikh Hazrat Ali Murtaza Rahmatullah Ali, he also did the same. Both my Sheikh and Hazrat Fadl Qureshi, I had the tawfiq to attend both ijtimas both annual gatherings. And until today, in the same way, once a year, they have the annual gathering, the ijtama, the gathering, and the spiritual effects are great. In Hazrat's Khanka, when there's an ijtama, then all night long, people do dhikr and tasbih prior to the gathering. From all corners, you can hear Allahu and remembrance of Allah's name. And there's different. And sometimes you see in some places 3 days gathering, some 2 days, some are 24 hours. And that same sunnah we are fulfilling here and now. The annual gathering in the form of the ijtima, the gathering for the name of Allah. So Hazrat Masum Khwaja Masum Rahimahullah stated about the ijtima, the annual gathering, that look, in that time when the time will come, he's telling the people at his time, 1,000 years ago, or some centuries ago, and he's talking about the final time, close to Qiyamah, which is nearer to us now. He said, just like we see the condition and the environment and the world today, he said that such a time when it will be close to the end of time for people to get together, to gather together in a majma. And he was saying this to his gathering, his students. And this is the gathering in Bolton today that we're sitting in, alhamdulillah. So as the Khwaja Masum rahmatullahi said that, in the days that are close to the final day, for people to get together for the sake of the name of Allah, to sit down. He said, I say this. He was such a great shaykh. And he said that this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's azim, azim rahmah. Azim, azim ni'mah, gift. And we may not feel this at this time, but alhamdulillah, the day of judgment and thereafter, we will realize that what a great ni'mah this is. Then after that, Hazrat Khwaja Masum said a beautiful, unique point. And it was in reflection in the light of the Quran and the Hadith. He said that if just two people, this is a gathering, such a big gathering. He said if just two people in that time, and how much dhikr? They do the amount of dhikr equivalent to two breaths. How long does it take? It doesn't take a second, does it? Two breaths. If two people gather, as I say, even if it's not a big gathering, even if just two people gather and they remember Allah equivalent to the moment and the time and amount of two breaths, that on that piece of earth that those two people sat down and remembered Allah, then that piece of earth is saluted by the heavens and the skies due to its status that two people sat on it and did dhikr. So great becomes that earth due to that dhikr within a moment. Within a moment. So where there's a habit, the gathering, people get together regularly, there's the love of Allah, then how can that person, individual, have problems in the world? How can he have issues in the world? No way. Allah's Quran gives good news. وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ Allah says that those people who do the dhikr of Allah, they have nothing to worry about. What should they worry about? Why should they have issues? Why do they need to have worries and issues and problems? The person who does the dhikr of Allah, he has no fikr. He has attained falah, success. He is successful, the individual, in this world and the hereafter. In this world, his life is satisfaction and peace. No problems, no distress. Even, for example, even in the worldly item, he doesn't have an item and he wants something, but he's not distressed because of what he has not got. And with regards to the hereafter, alhamdulillah, those who do the dhikr of Allah, their hereafter will be beautiful. As the Shaykh al-Hadith rahmatullah said in his writings, that the person who does the dhikr of Allah, who remembers Allah, they are so happy and they'll be so successful in the hereafter that people will be stuck in their accounts on the day of judgment. They'll be sweating that 50 years, the day will be as long as 50,000 years, and people's hands and feet and bodies will swell, and it will be so hot, they will be stood on the earth, and the sun will be so low, close to the bodies, and that time's about to come. It will come soon for all of us. So in that condition, at that time, the dhakir will stand and walk laughing, and he will walk into paradise through those severe conditions. Imagine. So is this a small ni'mah that Allah Ta'ala has given us, his remembrance, his dhikr? Is this a minor thing? Tell me, should we turn our faces from dhikr? Should we be lazy in doing dhikr of Allah? That Allah has given us a guarantee that no problem in the world should affect you. Do dhikr of Allah and it will disappear. Can there be a greater wazifa than dhikr of Allah? A greater solution than dhikr of Allah? A greater action than dhikr of Allah? Wherever a person has a problem, distress, he's learned dhikr of Allah, alhamdulillah, then can there be a greater solution and help for that problem? Sit and do dhikr of Allah. There are three tariqas of dhikr, three methods. Listen. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah stated that the dhikr of Allah, there are three categories or types or methods. First category, which is common amongst the people, common, regular, the thing that most people are used to doing. That is lisani dhikr, from the tongue. Everyone does tasbih, rosary beads, tasbih dhikr with the tongue. This is called lisani dhikr. This is the first step or category, and it's the minor category, the smallest category, the least, you could say, in impact. Then when a person progresses, or he wants to progress, I want to continue further ahead, and he has the desire. And those people have yaqeen and certainty in ma'rifah and nearness of Allah and the hereafter and the qabr and the grave, and they want good news in the hereafter, and they get the good rewards and the good glad tidings from dhikr, and his nose and ears and eyes are not sealed due to the good news. Then what does he do? The student, he said, why should I stay on the minor category, the first step? Why don't I promote myself and get more? Should we do this or not, my friends? Shouldn't we? Don't we want to promote ourselves? This is natural for us to go towards progression. That if I do dhikr, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, allahu akbar with my tongue, but there's something beyond this, better than this, and if I do that, then I'll get more benefit and more reward. So Imam Ghazali rahimullah stated that next after this, the next stage is the qalbi dhikr, the dhikr of the heart, mashallah. And that, so a person then transcends and goes beyond the dhikr of the tongue to the heart. So as long as a person is doing dhikr from his tongue, he can have a tasbih, hear something, he reads something in a book, a kalima, a verse or a dua, like you've come, you've heard something, he keeps on doing on his mouth. But qalbi dhikr, when a person promotes, then he needs an ustad, a teacher to teach the dhikr of the heart. Because he's going towards promotion, somebody who can teach him and tell him that what is the dhikr of God. This is what's stated. So then he gets uruj and the heights due to the dhikr of the heart. And he gets closer to his objective. He goes higher in his level spiritually. But there's a higher stage than this, subhanAllah, he stated. That there's a stage higher than the dhikr of the heart. And this is the command. That as a person progresses, as madaris of dhikr progresses, and his ulum spiritually is increasing, in the same way, the manzil of dhikr becomes easy for a person. So as he increases in his impact of his dhikr, the method becomes easier. Look how Allah Ta'ala has prepared. First you took a tasbih, you have to remember the words, you have to recite the kalamat, you have to memorize them, long verses, you got the tasbih, 1,000 beats. It's hard, isn't it? It's not easy. Then when you go to the next level towards qalbi dhikr, dhikr of the heart, and your ustad teaches you the dhikr of the heart, the sheikh teaches you, then it will become easy for you. First he'll tell you, leave the tasbih. Why do you keep holding the tasbih in your hand? He'll say to you, leave the tasbih. Now you don't need to do tasbih dhikr. Allah Ta'ala has given you tasbih for tick, tick, tick. Use that tasbih for the banging of the beads so that you can do the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala's name. So the tasbih, recitation from the tongue. The shaykh says to him, teacher, how many kalmats are you reciting? I'll tell you one kalma, and that is the name of Allah on the heart, and he makes the name of Allah alive on the person's heart. And then higher than this is another stage of dhikr, Allahu Akbar. And that is higher than this and greater and easier than this, subhanAllah. He said he's higher than this and better than this. And a person is lost then in that method, and he's totally immersed in the name of Allah. The fadl of Allah will do all three types of dhikr now with the karam of Allah. All three forms. There are all types of people in our gathering. But our asal zikr is the third that we will do. MashaAllah, you are all good students, and you've come to this maqam with the fadl of Allah, with Allah's grace. So this third form of dhikr type is maraqaba, silent. So first dhikr was lisani on the tongue, then qalbi in the heart, then third is called maraqaba. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah is giving the commentary on which hadith. There's one hadith that he narrated, a very famous hadith about this darja, where it was recited and how it was narrated. Allah Ta'ala knows all of the details. The Hazrat Aisha Sadiqa radiyallahu anha, may Allah be pleased with her, narrated this hadith that the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah, the third category, the highest category, is so high and full of impact that the other forms of dhikr, it is 70 times greater in impact and reward than the first two types, greater than the tasbih dhikr and the qalbi dhikr of the heart, is 70 times greater. And the kamal, the effect of this dhikr, and Imam Ghazali rahmatullah has written that the shri', the commentary, that the kamal, the beautiful impact and result of this dhikr of maraqaba is just 70 times greater. Rather, in the hereafter, what will happen is that the link of maraqaba, when a person does maraqaba dhikr, even the angels who are writing our deeds, recording, looking at our deeds, they haven't even recorded this. They will put their hands up and say, Allah, we weren't aware that this person, what dhikr he did. All we knew, we saw him, he did tasbih with his hands, we saw his tongue moving or mouth, and we could write what he was doing and see. But this question you're asking, where's the thawab? The Allah, we don't know the thawab for this. We don't know how much he did of this. We don't have the report. Allah Ta'ala will say, most definitely you don't have this, and nor will you have this, nor should you. This was such a great dhikr, maragwa. It had a direct link and connection with me, Allah Ta'ala will say. With me. Haven't you seen in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala said, فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَاشْكُرُونِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. This is that dhikr Allah Ta'ala is referring to, that no one comes in between. Whenever a person starts maraqaba and dhikr in the heart, direct he has a link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Direct connection, direct diary with Allah. When a person does maraqaba, dhikr of Allah, and he has a direct connection with Allah, then he's maraqib, and his connection and link with Allah Ta'ala is made, direct link. And Allah knows, only Allah knows what he's doing and how he's remembering Allah. So what a great hadith. And what's the height that is attained in this hadith? And why is this hadith so great that I've understood from this? Do you understand what I'm saying? So what is that point? That the tasbih dhikr we do, that's fine. You recite the kalamas from your tongue. Qalbi dhikr, you understand, that's happening. So how can this maraqaba be higher than the first two? Subhanallah. In this it is stated that there's one beautiful point of maraqaba dhikr which takes it to the highest level, is that there's another thing mixed with the dhikr of Allah in this maraqaba. Subhanallah, mashallah. There's another action that's intertwined with dhikr. So first was dhikr with the tasbih. Qalb is also dhikr, dhikr in the heart. But when you do maraqaba, then in maraqaba you're doing two things in parallel. A new thing comes in, maraqaba. And that's why it's called maraqaba. Subhanallah. So first you do the dhikr of the tongue, then you do dhikr of the qalb, then you have the third thing, maraqaba, which has another thing in parallel. You're doing dhikr of Allah, and in parallel with the dhikr of Allah, you're doing another action. That when the fikr of the love of Allah comes, mix into that, in parallel with dhikr, Allah Ta'ala's love, the fikr, the concern, anxiety and worry for Allah Ta'ala's muhabbat comes into that as well, then you have two things in parallel, dhikr and fikr, and that's maraqaba. For example, sometimes you're looking for something. I'll give an example. And you're looking for something desperately. You can't find it. When you become maraqib, when you are doing maraqabah of Allah, and your eyes close and you focus on your heart, and totally you detach yourself from the dunya. You don't want anybody to speak to you, to touch you, and you're in isolation, and you want to be individual on your own, and you wrap the blanket or sheet on top of you, and you dim the lights because you are seeking the love of Allah at that time. So in that search, you are immersed in the love of Allah, and nothing else remains at that time. And he becomes the pakka, solid, salik, and seeker of Allah Ta'ala's love. And this is maraqaba. This is what we call maraqaba. Parallel two items, dhikr and fikr. So this Allah Ta'ala has given for his ma'rifah. Another point is coming to my mind I'd like to share. All of my respected scholars are present here, and it's a beautiful point, event you could say. Listen to this clearly to what I'm saying. That ma'rifah, the nearness of Allah, the qurb Allah, is a beautiful thing. And this is our objective, that we want to attain Allah's nearness and we want to please Allah. Every action we do, we should have the intention that we want to please Allah. Isn't this our intention, all of us? Yes. So the method for this, Allah Ta'ala has told us in advance in the Quran. The first verse, Alif Lam Mim, Dhalika Al-Kitabu La Rayba Fihi Hudan Lil-Muttaqin. What does Allah Ta'ala say here? Alif Lam Mim, Dhalika Al-Kitabu La Rayba Fihi Hudan Lil-Muttaqin. Allah Ta'ala's marifa, pleasure, all of these paths and doors that open, listen my friends, to get close to Allah. And only that person get close to Allah, all of us have to analyze and ask ourselves the question, that how successful am I with regards to the hereafter? And Allah gives the message, the answer. Who gets close to this? The muttaqeen. Who are these people? The muttaqeen, the muttaqi, that Allah Ta'ala has termed, the person who has taqwa, who has the fear of Allah. Muttaqeen are those who have taqwa, who have fear of Allah. A person who doesn't have fear of Allah, he can never get close to Allah. He can never be successful in this world and thereafter. Remember this point. Me, you, if I want to know that am I close to Allah, then I have to ask myself, how much fear of Allah do I have in my heart? And what is the fear of Allah? That I'm on my own, I'm a human being, I'm in a gathering, or I'm on my own, it's darkness or there's light. I'm outside, inside, wherever am I? The person who has the khawf, the fear of Allah, he will never disobey Allah in any instance. Remember this point. This is the sign of the muttaqi. Doesn't matter how much worship he does, he's a zahid, a abid, whatever. But if inside him he doesn't have this quality of khawf, of taqwa, that he doesn't have the fear of Allah, he's not scared of Allah. A policeman, I'm scared of a policeman. If I don't wear my seatbelt, I'll get a fine. or if there's a law of the country, if I don't break it, because I know if I break this law, I'll get punished. But my Rabbi Hakik, Allah, who's watching me, looking at me direct, is my Malik. وَمَا كُنْتُمْ وَمَا إِنَ كُنْتُمْ. Allah says that totally, you know I'm watching you. I'm close to you, closer to you than your jugular vein. And Allah's one action, one order that Allah Ta'ala has told me not to practice something, and then I do that action, how can this be? Tell me. How can this be? How can I say that I'm doing a wrong action? How can my salah, my worship, my ibadah, where's my taqwa then? How will these things be accepted? My hajj, my umrah, where's my Quran recitation, Ramadan, fasting? I've not achieved my objective. I've gone opposite to that. I've not understood. I've not learned how to implement Allah's order. If Allah said something's haram, I've not said it's haram. If Allah says something's halal, I haven't understood it as halal. So all this ibadah, worship, I've just become used to doing worship, fasting for 30 days, it's become a habit. لَعْلَكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. The fast of Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala said, I gave to you so you can learn khawf. لَعْلَكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So, but you don't have khawf the whole year long. So you used to do wrong actions, used to sin, used to disobey me. The basis of Allah's disobedience, Allah Ta'ala said, that when I made the universe, Allah said that I will not accept one atom's weight of disobedience, just like Shaitan. He was close to me, Allah says. And I said to Shaitan, prostrate to me, or prostrate to Adam. And he gave an excuse. He didn't openly reject me, gave an excuse. So even if I make an excuse against Allah's hukam, where is it written? Who said I don't do this? Oh no, this is not Quranic verse. I can do this in the Quran. The first verse tells us this. So the first lesson, you are salikin and I'm a student like you. We're all the same. We're all students. Remember this lesson number one, sabak today. Successful will be that student, that salik, that talib ilm, that dhakir will be successful, in whose heart he has the khawf that has born, and it increases in his heart. It increases that the more khawf, a fear a person has in his heart, that he doesn't want his hand, forget the hands, even his thoughts will, even his imagination will go towards sin, then imagine he is that close to his Rabb. He doesn't need karamat, he doesn't need miracles, he doesn't need to see supernatural acts, he doesn't need to be praised, he doesn't need a platform or high level. Allah says, I become a witness that he is mine. Allah says, he loves me and I love him. I bear witness, I testify, who are you to ask me? Allah says, who are you to challenge? He has a link with me. So we need to attain this level, my friends. Step number one, lesson number one, if I don't have this, then I'm far from deen. Dhikr will not give me success. You're coming here, Mubarak, alhamdulillah. I give you congratulations that you've come here today. I'm happy you've come today. I'm happy. It's a good opportunity that I can speak to you and we are gathered together. That's why we have an ijtama once a year. Let's do dua that we meet each other again next year. So that we can learn something, so we can realize and we refresh our deen. That's why we have the ijtama, the annual gathering, the mashayikh, our pious elders. Not just from today, from thousands of years this has continued. Since the sawuf, the khankas were made, there's an annual ijtama gathering, people gather together, the students, so we can refresh ourselves and learn what we are about, and we don't stay in deception, in the darkness. Do you understand what I'm saying? So lesson number one is what today, what we learn? Khawf, we should have khawf, fear of Allah in our hearts. And what does that mean? Taqwa. And a person who has taqwa, he is called, what does the Quran term that person as? A muttaqi. Muttaqi, simple, isn't it? Lesson number one. First verses of the Quran. Alif lam mim dhalika al-kitabu la rayba fihi hudan lil-muttaqin. That this kitab I'm giving to you, Allah says, the Quran, I'm giving to Zayd and Bakr, to this person, X, Y, Z, whoever is an ummati, whoever is a believer, a Muslim, who believes in Rasulullah and Allah, the first gift Allah says, I'm giving to you, dhalika al-kitab, this kitab I'm giving to you, the Quran, there has no other objective, the biggest objective of the Quran, the first verse tells us, lesson number one, that inside you, khawf of Allah, for this to be created in your heart, hudan lil-muttaqeen, all the paths to success are present in this kitab. Say subhanallah. So easy Allah Ta'ala has made this path. We've got Quran in our pockets. We have it on the bookshelf, on the member. We have the Quran in our hearts. We memorize the Quran. Remember the objective of the Quran. Lesson number one. Don't turn your backs and faces from the maqsad. The maqsad, the objective of the Quran from this kitab is that we need to take those paths through which we can get what? Say it loudly. Khawf of Allah. Fear of Allah. We need to save ourselves from haram through the teaching of the Quran. We need to start practicing the sunnah through the teaching of the Quran. Whatever order the Quran gives, from whichever verse, that for example, Nabi al-Kareem sells some sunnah that we need to practice. Why? Why? Because the Quran orders, Allah says himself in the Quran. Verse, order, instruction. Allah says all the paths to the fear of Allah will be present in what? Where will you get the guidance from? The kitab. And this kitab is so easy to practice, the Quran. Every instruction, verse of the Quran, takes us to Allah's fear. Allah says, I've made the Quran easy for you to understand. Don't make excuses afterwards. Allah, only the alims, the muftis, only they understand the Quran. Only they can find the path to success with the Quran. Only they can have khawf. No, this is not the case. Allah says, in this verse, the first few verses of Surah Baqarah, I've laid down the gauntlet. It's not difficult to find the path to success from the Quran. You don't have to be an alim. You don't have to be a mufti, a grand scholar, or a faqih, or a jurist, or a muhaddith. No, simple. Not every man can be an alim. Not every man in the world can be a muhaddith. Alhamdulillah, whoever Allah has mercy, they read the Quran, hadith, and they learn ilm and knowledge and uloom. This is Allah's special mercy on them, that they have enlightened their hearts and their chests with the uloom. They have descended, allowed the Quran to come to their hearts. They're alim, they recite, they study Bukhari and hadith sharif. There's a great verse, great karam and mercy of Allah on them. But not every human being, because we're here today to learn what every human being can do to attain success. So obviously every human being needs to get close to Allah, get Allah's ma'rifah, each and everyone else. No man can claim the rights to Allah exclusive. So how can every human being find the path to Allah's nearness, to Allah's qurb, to Allah's pleasure? All of this is in the Quran. Hudallil muttaqeen, taqwa, the muttaqi, dhalikal kitab. In this Quran, in these verses, Allah says, I will teach you how to get close to me. So what's the tariqah? What does this verse tell us? The subhanallah, listen carefully to the method, to the tariqah. You learn today. What is it? Shall I read the verse again? Alif lam mim, dhalikal kitab la rayba fihi. La rayba fihi. That this kitab, you want to find the path, if you want to seek the path, if you want Allah's khawf to come into your hearts, then what do you need? What do you need is so easy, the method Allah Ta'ala has given to us, that 10-year-old child, baligh, 12-year-old girl, baligh, 9-year-old, 10-year-old child, a person who's deaf or dumb or blind or disabled in hospital, distressed, every human being is so easy, Allah Ta'ala has defined. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. So easy has it become that tomorrow in the court of Allah, when a person will be presented on the day of judgment, then he won't be able to put forward an excuse. Allah, I didn't know what was Islam. I didn't have the knowledge. I didn't know how to find the path. I used to consume or practice haram because I didn't know. I didn't understand the deen. Allah will say, for that, you only need one thing today while you're alive. Subhanallah. What do you need? One thing. La rayba fi. That man should have yaqeen in his life. That's it. You need yaqeen. What do you need? To be the owner of yaqeen. Sahibi yaqeen. He should have the yaqeen, the certainty that this kitab Allah Ta'ala sent for me, and I have to seek the power from this kitab. And what do I need to be? The muttaqi. I need to have the fear of Allah. I need to bring that into my heart. And I have to have yaqeen on this. La rayba fi. This is what this means. You should have no doubt that the Quran is guidance and nothing else. And as your yaqeen increases now, the Quran, look how it opens up now. As your yaqeen, certainty and belief in Allah will increase, then on you, what will open up and unravel? The ma'rifah, the depth understanding and the path of the Quran will open up. Not how to make money and wealth, which paths? How to be a muttaqi. That if you have yaqeen, then the khawf of Allah will increase and the path will say, subhanallah, loudly, subhanallah. Say it again and again, subhanallah. How easy is this path, my friends? It's so easy. So easy. Just one thing we need to do. What is that thing we need to do? We need to do what to our yaqeen? We need to increase our yaqeen, continually increase our yaqeen. The more we increase our yaqeen and our certainty, the Quran will open up then, and then the doors and the paths of marifah, such doors will open every day. If you increase your yaqeen, you'll open up the Quran, the subject will open up, your heart will be full of noor, you'll read one ruku, one section of the Quran, and you'll take so much from the Quran in that one section, one ruku, that many other human beings cannot. You don't need to read tafsir, you don't need to see it in speeches, but your heart will give you the tafsir of the Quran, because your Rabb is giving you that tafsir, and it will be according to your style and your manners and your habits, whatever you want. When you're stuck somewhere, Allah will take you out of that stuck position. What a great solution. Allah will make the Quran as your guide for every human being. What is the Quran? It's a guide. We shouldn't worry at all in our lives about problems. A mu'min has the Quran in his pocket. Any problem, any issue, any distress, any worry, the Quran will guide you in your every step of life. Quran will give you a solution to come out of every problem. This is the objective of the Quran. Everything else is secondary, tertiary. And this will be asked in the grave. In the qabr, you won't be asked. Your levels will increase by reading Quran. No one will ask you, are you a hafiz? Are you a qari? In the grave, no. Were you this? Were you a scholar? Were you murid? Huh? But this will be asked. the Quran, if you read it, your qari, your hafiz, it will increase your levels. But if you present in the grave your objective of the Quran, first will be asked, what was the objective of the Quran? Man rabbuka. That did you through the Quran recognize your Lord Allah? Did you accept Allah's laws? This is the objective. Did you recognize your Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam through the Quran? If you had recognized the Rasulullah sallam, then how comes you rejected the Sunnah? Why were you ashamed of following the Sunnah? Why did you shun the Sunnah? Why did you consider the Sunnah as a minor? Because you didn't have yaqeen in the Quran. You didn't understand the meaning of the Quran. You used to keep kissing the Quran and touching it, but you didn't understand the meaning of the Quran. Subhanallah. Is the Quran for embracing and kissing? Yes, if you bring the Quran in your heart and you obtain its objective, then the rest, hifz and Qur'an and qiraat, then this will increase your levels and take you closer to Allah. But the objective is to understand Allah's message. What is lawful and unlawful? What will be asked first? Did you follow the meaning and the objective of the Quran in your life? Is this hard, my friends, to understand? No, it's easy. Now I speak to the point. How do I increase my yaqeen? Who is Allah? Allah has told us. I've told you that as a person, as Allah Ta'ala wants to increase a person's iman, Allah makes the path easy for him. Yes? So a Muslim, as his iman and yaqeen, as his iman gets stronger, then Allah says your yaqeen becomes easier. So to increase our yaqeen, then we'll become better Muslims, we'll get more guidance from the Quran, we'll understand the Quran better. Then when we understand the Quran better, we'll have khawf in our hearts, and as the khawf comes in our hearts, then we'll become arif billah, we'll become the people who are close to Allah. So people say, how do you become a wali of Allah? Can I become a wali of Allah? Is it a miracle that a person becomes a wali of Allah? Does he read more tahajjud namaz? Or does he do different deeds? Or does he do wazifas? Or does he stay hungry? Or do they not wear? Are they living the lives of poverty? We think that those people have torn clothes and they have, and they become, they do weird actions and say naras. We think that he's a wali of Allah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. This is not the definition. Understand my points and look at the world. You will laugh on those people or not, will you know? And we run after them. Oh, he's a wali Allah, and he's sat here and he's shouting out, and he's got people around him, and he tells them about the world. Hey, you do this and magic and folklore. People ask him, do dua for me so I can have a son or a daughter, and please do this for me. And he'll say that, oh, jinn's come into your life and you're overcome by black magic. There's no jinn, black magic in anyone. The biggest jinn is the jinn in our lives that we have left Allah Ta'ala's nearness. Become Allah's friends. How can a jinn impact you? A jinn is a creation of Allah. They are scared of us. Jinns. Wallahi, I tell you, jinn are scared of human beings. Though if he reads Quran, he'll get burnt. And we are scared of jinn. How can we be scared of jinn? How are we scared of jinn? That we run to those people, those so-called walis, who are themselves jinn. They're jinns themselves. These magicians, black magics and amils and exorcists. And they tell us, oh, there's magic in your life. No. Oh, it's magic. Then we say to them, please, if there's magic, give us a solution, the powder or the potion. No, there's jinn in you. Oh, I saw there's a jinn in you and you have to do this now. They are shaitan, there's no doubt, who pester you and try to mix up your mind. My brothers, a mu'min is never affected by these things. Yaqeen. If you strengthen your qeen, nothing can affect you. So what do we need to do? We need to increase our yaqeen. What's our basic duty of life? What is the message I've given you up till now today? That we need to increase our yaqeen. The whole of the deen hinges on this point. The whole of our deen hinges on this point. A person who has no yaqeen, his salah is weak. His salah is empty. He doesn't know, is he praying? How is he praying? His Quran is weak. His hajj is weak. His umrah. All of this is habit. All of our life is from step number one, lesson number one equals yaqeen. We need to strengthen this. Come, now let's learn how to increase our yaqeen. Yeah, and we need to work on this and make effort on our yaqeen. Will we do this, brothers? Inshallah. Yaqeen, to increase yaqeen, I'll tell you one hadith, a meaning of one hadith. There were two companions. One companion said to the other companion, he got hold of him, and this is the day and age of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Quran was being revealed in those days, deen was being made, established, sharia was coming, hadith nur was being spread, subhanallah. This is that generation I'm talking about. The first generation, those words that came from the blessed tongue of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was made into deen. Islam, the libas that he wore, the attire was deen, Islam. And what he told us to refrain from became deen, Islam. Whatever color he preferred became deen, Islam. When he would take the sticks and he would use the toothstick and use miswak, it became the name of miswak. It becomes a means to paradise if we use miswak as well. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he wore surma in his eyes, that became deen of Islam. Look at this point. Such a generation. Two companions are sitting, and one said, where are you going? He said, listen. He was going to the bazaar, the marketplace. He said, listen to me. He said, where are you going? He said, look, many days. And he is a great companion who is speaking to the first companion. Great high status companion. And he said to him, that sit down with me. Abu Darda, I think it was Abu Darda speaking to Ibn Umar, or Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, what do you want me to do? He said, let's increase our yaqeen. Let's increase our iman status. He said, sit down and we will increase our yaqeen. The two sahabi. And Imam Ghazali rahmatullah has narrated this and defined this and commented on this hadith. And he sat down. They sat in the marketplace. And after sitting down with the fadl of Allah, he said, do dhikr of Allah. One companion said, do that. And they started doing dhikr of Allah. He started to do dhikr. Remembering Allah. What was the topic? That iman and deen was being elevated, increased through what? Dhikr of Allah. Remembrance of Allah. Oh no, this is bidah, we said. This is innovation. We've got Quran. Rasulullah's hadith are coming to us. And he sat in the marketplace and he's doing this bidah. We call this bidah today. And the other companion thought, oh, this is innovation. What's he telling me to do? Do I not have yaqeen? I'm a Muslim. I'm already a Muslim. I'm not just a Muslim. I'm an ashik of Rasulullah. Say subhanallah. And he's telling me to increase my iman, yaqeen. Do I have a need to do this? Is it necessary? In yaqeen, the message was actually for the Muslims of Bolton, for us today. This hadith had to come to us. So he said that what you're saying, hey, I've said this, but he said, come with me. Let's go straight to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this was a fresh incident. So both of the companions went, and the companion said, hey, Ajib, he's told me something, oh Prophet of Allah. He said, what did he do? He took me in the marketplace, and he told me, sit down, let's increase our iman and yaqeen and certainty. And he said, let's revive our yaqeen. So am I a munafiq, hypocrite? Do I not have yaqeen in you? Oh Prophet of Allah, do I have not iman in the kitab? And Allah's Nabi said, asked, what did he tell you to do? Abu Darda, mashallah. And he said, what did he tell you to do? What action to increase again? He said, he didn't tell me to do anything else except for dhikr. And Rasulullah said, he told you to do the right thing. Dhikr indeed will increase your yaqeen. Subhanallah. My brothers, this is the reason we do dhikr of Allah. And this is the essence of dhikr of Allah. And this is the meaning of remembrance of Allah. From today backwards, Ghaus, Abdal, Kuttab, all of our Qabirin pious predecessors before today, from the greatest sheikhs, every one of them took hold of the dhikr of Allah firmly. It was our Quran, ilm, uloom, knowledge will benefit us at that time when my yaqeen is at the loftiest height. Leave this. Yes, leave us to dhikr, their nights would be spent in the dhikr of Allah. And this is the practice of our aqabireen, their practice. Look at this. They, until the final breath, they would think, I have to do dhikr, as a shaykhul of these. His final words, people have stated this, those who were in his company, his final words were, don't leave dhikr of Allah, it's a great action. He said, I see that the dhikr is a great action. Dhikr is a great action. Wala dhikr Allahi akbar. These were his final words. Why? Because through dhikr of Allah, a person's yaqeen increases, his certainty increases. Then when a person's certainty increases, then the doors of Allah's nearness and marifah open for the human being. And if a person doesn't have khawf, then he should understand. If he's doing haram, and all worship actions he's got, but in spite of this, he disobeys Allah, he leaves the sunnah of Rasulullah, he discards them, he's ashamed of them, and he considers sunnah actions as small, as minor. This is an ajeeb sin. In his heart, he doesn't have the importance of the sunnah. He doesn't appreciate the sunnah. If he swears by the Quran, and he swears, Allah, Ya Rasul, I swear by you and your path and by your city, tell me. The person, if the Quran is swearing by the libas and by the city and by his qamar, by his haze, this is comes in the Quran. Allah Ta'ala swears by the Prophet. So imagine, can his imamah be minor? Can his turban be a minor thing? Tell me. Can the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's individual actions be minor? And we change our face, we've left one country and we come to another country and we leave the deen because our yaqeen is weak. We don't have certainty. And a person who has low yaqeen, then how will he answer the questions in the grave? What will his death be like? Severe. Difficult. On which ibadah can we trust that they will give me success? Me. How can I trust my deeds? And the Quran tells us that the world is deception. Shaitan is deception. Your nafs is deception. And they will betray you. How? That if these things keep you far away from deen, from sharia, Quran and sunnah you are far from, then definitely you are stood in the pool of deception. Doesn't matter how much you worship, how much ibadah you do. Did shaitan not do enough ibadah? All his centuries of ibadah led to destruction because he rejected. So my brothers, if the basis of our life doesn't become this point, that there are two things I need to love in my life, two actions, Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and all of the orders of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam need to be loved by me in my heart. And if I don't practice these things, then I have to consider that my yaqeen is weak. And why is my yaqeen weak? Because I don't remember. So what should I do if my yaqeen is weak? I should go to the cure. Then what's the cure? Do the dhikr of Allah. Easy, isn't it? 1, 2, 3. If I'm sat down blind, I'll stay blind until I don't take the solution. My cataract cannot be removed until the eye doctor doesn't remove the cataract. Doesn't matter how many sujood I do, yakin cannot come to mind. Doesn't matter how much I read the Quran, how much prostration I do. Rather, the Quran will curse me. What Quran are you reading? Your heart is sealed. Which Quran are you putting your hands on? Your heart is sealed. How can you embrace the Quran? If your heart is weak, then refresh your heart with the dhikr of Allah and put a place in your heart for the remembrance of Allah, Allah's name. Then your iman will increase, your yaqeen will get stronger, and then you'll follow the orders of Allah and His Rasul. Who is saying like this? Alif lam mim dhalika al-kitabu la rayba fi. Same first verse. That increase your yaqeen. And how do you increase your yaqeen? Do the dhikr of Allah. And here I'll tell you another thing on the way, then we'll start the dhikr of Allah. A beautiful point I'll present in your service. That the dhikr of Allah, there are three levels of dhikr. I told you, didn't I? So Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, to do the dhikr of Allah, Allah Ta'ala said that the more you do the higher level, a person will increase in the levels and Allah makes it easier. So to do dhikr, what should we do? That if you recite the name of Allah, then all the names of Allah, as mentioned in the Quran, that there's no more beautiful thing than my names. And my name. So let's tell us, say this name of Allah, Qadir, Razzaq, Alim, Hakim, Hudud. Which name shall I take of Allah and put into my heart? All the names of Allah are great and beautiful and enjoyable. They have an enjoyment. Whichever name you recite, that's it. You're immersed in the love of Allah. So Allah Ta'ala said after that, there's an even easier thing than reciting my different names. Allah says, just take one name and all my names will come to that. Say Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah again. Allah says, why are you afraid? Why do you shake and tremble? Allah, I've made the deen easy for you. Allah says that I love you. Every name is as easy for you, but you have less time. You don't have enough time. So why are you trapped and stuck? I'll tell you one name. And Allah says, all the names will come into this. All of the enjoyment and the taste and the maqams and the levels and all the sabab will come into this. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So Allah Ta'ala says, you have to select. You have to think. And come to Kareem, leave reciting Kareem and Haleem and Razzaq and Rahman. These are your preferences. Allah says, let me tell you my preferences. That from all these names, which name do I love the most that I want you to recite? And you should do the same. Ya Allah, what is that name that is most beloved to you? Allah Ta'ala says, most of all, my most beloved name that I love the most, which I have descended, which I have sent to the whole universe, through which the jalal of my name, the whole world shakes. And no one has the power in the world that they can recite this name of mine. That there is jalal azim, the azim, greatest jalal in this one name of mine. Such a name, such an ism, such a name in the whole universe and the heavens and the earth and the sky. Lillahi ma fi samawati wa ma fil ard. Whatever is contained within the heavens and the earth, everything is in existence due to that name. The barakah, the blessings, the ronak, the noor and the karam, the mercy descends due to this name. Allah, give us ijazah, give us permission. What is that name? Allah says, Allah. That one name, Allah. Allah. Subhanallah. That's the name. The one name. What a great ijazah Allah Ta'ala has given to us, my friends. Allah has given us permission. Are these words of mine penetrating your hearts? This is why we've come together today. That's why I've given you difficulty. You came in the night. Because that at least you'll do dua for me when I'm not around. May it happen that these words, I do amal on these and you do amal on these words as well. So what is that name Allah said? Allah. Brothers, tell me a deep, beautiful point. Subhanallah. Very easy. Allah's made it even easier. That human being, that individual, what three methods of dhikr have I told you? That individual who recites Allah's name, such a great name, Allah. What do we need to do? Do dhikr. And what do we take from dhikr? Remember the lessons. We need to do dhikr. When we do dhikr, our yaqeen will increase. This is today's lessons. So I make it even quicker and easy and shortcut for you. That individual who from the heart, from the depths of heart, now leave the tongue, come onto the second stage, then we'll come to Anubaka. That person who does dhikr, that's why, because the shaykh, you have to take a teacher, ustad, will teach you. That individual from the heart, 1,000 times, how many times? 1,000 times, says Allah, 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 then it's stated that he will become the person who has yaqeen, certainty. Then yaqeen is what we're seeking, subhanAllah. Why? because Allah's name, the barakah of Allah's name, fayakun, if Allah says kun, fayakun, if I say be, it becomes. So do you think my name has no impact? If you say 1,000 times in your heart, woman, man, child, young man, old man, distressed, hospital, ill, disabled, and whatever condition, there's no easy action than this. Allah says that 1,000 times in the depths of your heart, your teacher instructs you, and I have sent my teachers around, Allah says, in the world. Allah says, I'm just spread them out, I've dispersed them around the world. You should desire. And Allah says, I will send you to the teacher. Is Allah Ta'ala not sent you to me? So the person who has a desire and who hasn't learned this dhikr, come to me, learn this dhikr. Learn this dhikr right now. Learn right now this dhikr. And 1,000 times, if you recite Allah's name in the day, in your heart, you sit down 1,000 times, you recite Allah, Allah. The guarantee, Allah Ta'ala says, that that person will become the owner of yaqeen. And if you become the owner of yaqeen, sahib yaqeen, then you'll get hadaya from Quran, and you get the path from the Quran, the marifah from the Quran, the doors will open, then you'll become the muttaqi, and the person who's a muttaqi, Allah says, he becomes mine. Easy. 1, 2, 3. Easy, isn't it? Simple. So who is that person? ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ Subhanallah. Allah says, easy. وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ He becomes successful. مُتَّقِي. So this is saying 1,000 times Allah's name. Then it's stated, that person, Allah Ta'ala says, what is the hukum Allah has given? كثير. And that person who recites Allah names كثير and كثير, what will be his hal? What will be his maqam? Very high status. My brothers, these are a few words that are presented in your service. Listen to these, you heard these attentively. And I'm very grateful that you came and gave me some time. You heard what I've got to say. May Allah Ta'ala give me and you the tawfiq. That in this majma, due to the blessings of this gathering, due to the blessings of this morning and the barakah, we understand this. And we don't consider dhikr as a minor thing. This should be the essence of our life and the biggest action of our life. Remember this. Don't waste your time. Every moment, this is not for a special person, for a special group, or for a special jama'at. Dhikr of Allah is for every human being. You know, like water. Water. Water is water, the well of water for one man. Oh, this man will drink water. And from every well, every thirsty person runs to a well. Every thirsty person runs to the well and lowers his bucket. So every person who's thirsty should run to the dhikr of Allah to learn the yaqeen and to become muttaqi. We are all thirsty for the dhikr of Allah. All of us. And the Quran, the first verse, I told you this today, the first lesson number one. So you can understand, I gave you the message that, and another thing, remember, that when you start to dislike doing dhikr, when your heart starts to go far from doing dhikr, you don't feel like doing dhikr, and you start getting scared of the dhikr, remember what I'm saying. These are the two passages that run in life. Allah's given you dhikr, and you have passion, you have desire, you like it, but shaitan and nafs are with you. And maybe a time will come in your life that shaitan and nafs will drag you away from dhikr, and they'll make you disliking your shaykh, and whispering of shaitan will come in your ears that don't do it, and doubts will come, and you'll say, no, I don't need to do dhikr, I'm pious, oh, there's no benefit for me, oh, no, I'll read Quran, or I'll do this. A good man, and there are hundreds of thousands of people like this who've turned away from dhikr, shaitan will carry on his task to distract people. When you get to the maqam, then remember my statement today. I'll tell you a statement today, that this is then the destruction, the doors to destruction, the path to destruction is open for that person who in his heart, he starts to dislike dhikr, or run away from dhikr, or doesn't want to do dhikr, or whispering of shaitan says, don't go and do dhikr, or don't remember Allah. When he starts going far from dhikr, when he starts to have disliked dhikr, or doubts in dhikr, or lazy in dhikr, or ignorant, he starts to go to other paths, then the Quran tells that person, the pious predecessors have commentated, then the doors to destruction have opened. If not today, but tomorrow, he will be destroyed in his qabr at least, because he has shunned the path that Allah defined for him. Remember this point. I always say, remember this point in your heart. May Allah Ta'ala not allow this, that in our hearts we start to feel again far from dhikr. We say there's no need for dhikr. Oh, I don't need to do this. I'm pious. I'm better than this. We make fuss and noise and excuses. Nothing will benefit. Remember these words of this faqir today. Then the doors of destruction have opened for that person. And a person whose love increases for dhikr, and he goes to the means through which he's getting dhikr, and from his teacher, from the means, then Allah says, listen, the guarantee I give to you that the doors of my mercy have opened up for you if you love dhikr. And these are two opposite things. Love for dhikr and dislike for dhikr. So remember the solution for this. Always ask dua, Allahumma aina ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husna ibadatika. Subhanallah. Allah asked, Rasulullah SAW did this dua, kathiran kathiran abundance. And this is a hadith of Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha. It's a big message that Allah take away the waswasa, the whispers that take us far from your dhikr. Allah give us the haq path that you've given us. We've learned from the Quran that all paths to success open from dhikr of Allah. So Allah, don't take us far from your dhikr. Allahumma a'inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatika. Allah, if we are this today, then increase me tomorrow. Give me passion tomorrow. Give me ishq so I can increase in my path of dhikr. And don't bring any obstacles in my path of dhikr. May Allah ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and the capacity and ability to do amal on this. Wa akhru dawahum and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Now for a few moments, for a little time, we'll do dhikr of Allah. Then we'll do collective dua.